Good afternoon, I'm Don Burgess. Welcome to this Facebook Live Burn News. And today I have the pleasure of being with the Deputy Premier, who's in charge of public transportation, Walter Robban, and the Director of Public Transportation, Roger Todd. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming and talking with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Don.
This month there's been approximately 450 bus cancellations. What are the biggest issues following the shortage of availability of buses, and why have there been so many cancellations?
Well, I thank you for having myself and the director with you today. I think it's well known to the public that there is a serious issue concerning our buses, and this government is certainly, since coming in July, has been taking direct steps to address it. But let's make this clear. It's due to the underinvestment in public transport why we are plagued with this situation. The underinvestment in the fleet, underinvestment in the resources, underinvestment in training, and the lack of ability to hire key staff, certainly over the last 4 years of the previous administration, that has contributed to the challenges that we have with the fleet.
Mr. Todd, do you want to add anything?
I just want to add to that. It's taking some time to turn it around. That when you stop investing in training, development, recruitment, and infrastructure, it doesn't show up overnight. But when it does show up, a year, two, 3 years later, and you start to really feel the effects, it then can't just be turned around overnight. But we are working tirelessly to turn it around and to achieve that. The new bus schedule that has been talked about and asked for, we're actually in a staff engagement process now, and we have the rosters and the schedule fully organized and ready to implement, subject to some minor adjustments and buy-in with the staff. Mm-hmm. So the idea of that 50 bus schedule is that we take the peak demand for buses during the peak time down from 88 to 50. We're able to sustain, on average, 55 to 60 buses in service on a given day. And this is what's going to give us the breathing room to allow us to strategically build back the service in terms of the resources, the infrastructure, and the buses.
Now, I know, Minister, in your budget debate back in March, you focused on changing the schedule as making a big dent into this situation. But, you know, we've been talking about changing the bus schedule for 17 years or so, and nothing's come of it. What's the stopping point at this juncture?
Well, before Roger gives sort of his information on that, because he's the leader in that process, mm-hmm. and I'm satisfied that he's taking the right approach, that the management of DPT is taking the right approach this time for us to get success, we're focusing on a very key things with the schedule issue. We've made it clear to the staff and to those who are obviously affected by it, our main interest is getting rid of the cancellations right mm-hmm. now. There are not really any other, there are other priorities that may be impacted by that, but the main focus, getting those cancellations away so that we're providing a reliable service and people don't get up knowing that a number of buses will not come at all. We want to move away from that. Yeah. There's obviously been a challenge over the last 20 years with revising the schedule. And we understand that, and there were different reasons for that. But we're taking an approach now which we are hopeful that with the cooperation of our union partners, and I'm confident that the approach that Mr. Todd is taking will see success at the end of the day. Because I believe that the staff understand what we're trying to achieve. And I am feeling very good about the process. But let me just add a couple other things in that. You know, we're doing something different than our predecessors, than the OBA did. And we're investing in public mm-hmm. transport. There was little investment in public transport prior to July 2017 for at least 4 years. We're investing, we've already completed a bunch of buses here. $1.2 million was spent on that. We have committed another $3 million to 8 buses, which are going to be arriving here between December of this year. So almost at the end of this year, which is not too far away, the first of those buses will arrive, and that will happen right through until next summer. So we'll receive 8. There's already in place a additional commitment of another $3 million to the next generation of buses, which we will are ordering and will be a part of an RFP which will be issued next year. So we also have invested in areas that we're not invested in, us such as staff. We have additional management support, which was starved of from the service over the previous 4 years of the previous administration. So we've hired additional managers, supervisors. We've hired additional operators. And we're also making sure that our maintenance process is robust and more reliable. We still are, unfortunately, don't have enough mechanics because there aren't enough mechanics with that level of training in Bermuda. So we're working on that as well with other partners in government to make sure the training is available on island. So we're investing in public transport. We believe in it. And we have a plan in place to make sure that eventually we get out of this position.
I want to get to the schedule issue, but you did mention earlier this year that there were 14 staff positions that were mechanic positions that were not
filled. Yeah.
And you said that the government was going to hire six people immediately. What happened with that process? Were you able to hire six?
Well, we didn't get the whole six, but we've had minimal success with that, and that's because people make choices and some have decided not to take up the offer. But we're still out there, still advertising, still seeking to fill those positions. They weren't able to be filled in the immediate, but we're continuing, and Mr. Todd and his team are continuing to try and fill what we need to have with new mechanics. But we're also working on training as well. So we're working with the Bermuda College as well to have the appropriate training done. And I've even asked personally, this is how far we've gone. I've asked different people in DPT, if you know young people who are inclined towards this sort of work, send them my way so I can get them trained. So that's how far we've gone to try and make sure that we're not just hiring who's available now, but we're preparing for additional staff for the future, because we believe in our young people, we believe in Bermudians being first, and so we're pursuing getting Bermudian mechanics trained and developed so they can work with DPT.
So how many were you able to hire?
There are a number of positions that ranging from semi-skilled positions through to technician positions. The lower grade positions we're able to fill with the technical expertise that we have available on island. However, when it comes to heavy vehicles and heavy equipment technicians, that's a very specialized skill set. And so what we're very sensitive to is the DPT staff that have been there and perhaps not had the training and advancement made available to them that they need to occupy those senior positions. And also, whoever we bring in needs to be competent to the level that we require. So we're looking at the training and development there. We have at least two technician level and two tradesmen 1A positions for heavy vehicle technicians that are vacant. And so we're looking to close that with a combination of internal promotions and recruitment where those internal promotions are not possible. But also we're looking at training and development so that every employee within the fleet management team who wants to advance has clarity on their role, on what it takes to advance to the next level, and has the opportunity to do so. That hasn't been the case to date, and so you'll understand that putting together assessment for advancement and internal development programs is a bit of a process.
Right.
And so that's what we've come into, and it's been a bit of a headwind, but we are making progress, and we do have a plan to execute on that.
So just to add to that, these are the areas that were starved of resources by the previous administration. We would have been further ahead if the funding was made available so that training of our staff could have been maintained. Hiring had been continuous, and there wasn't the freezes that they had imposed on the department.
So how long is this process going to take till we get fully staffed with the number of mechanics we should have?
I'm optimistic that within 6 months we should be able to have the majority of that complete. In the meantime, what we're doing is augmenting our staff with, we are an MAN service center. And from my point of view, if we're an MAN service center, we should represent and we should be at the standard of an MAN service center. We have 100 MAN buses in our fleet. And so over this period, we've been tapping into our resources with MAN to send technicians down to help augment our team and provide the additional skill set and resources that we need, the bodies that we need to be able to get to the work, not just tackling the breakdowns, but also getting to some of the out-of-service repairs, some of the bigger projects that have been put on the back burner, and some of the training and development that we also need. We recently had some training and development on the Euro 6 engine by an MAN trainer who came down. So it's a building process, and we're making progress with it. In the interim, we are leaning on MAN to provide the additional lift where we need it.
Right. So on a let's say an average daily basis, how many technicians from there are here to help out?
We kind of do it in spurts. So recently we made an investment of two technicians for 2-3 week blocks. So we had a total of 6 weeks, and that was leading up to the end of the summer and the beginning of the school term in order to get our numbers back up. The problem with that is the more vehicles you return to service, the more vehicles you have to service, mm-hmm. and the more vehicles that are incurring issues. And so when the technicians leave and our numbers are again depleted, then we're left to manage that fleet. So until we really bring all these pieces together and move forward with the staffing, recruitment, the tools, and the new buses, then it feels like a bit of ebb and flow. But we are making progress in the right direction. What the schedule's gonna do is allow us to meet our commitments. Right now, we're committing to a public schedule that we can't sustain, and the staff are stretched in every direction. So if you're stretched, it becomes really difficult to pull away people for training, for development, and other things. So what we want to do is claw back to something that we know we can commit to and deliver reliably, and then as we build our capacity, we want to grow the service again strategically where it makes best sense to do so.
We're talking about the schedule. What seems to be the sticking point in getting this schedule approved?
I haven't come across a sticking point. I know there's a lot of history there, and I'm told that sort of this is where it gets sticky. But I have a very good working relationship with the staff and the union. They are working very hard. Each one of them are experiencing the challenges and the issues. Mm-hmm. The overall commitment is to delivering a quality, reliable bus service. How we do that and the details of it, I'm open to suggestions from everywhere. Mm-hmm. We've put a proposal forward that we think is workable. Where we need to tweak it, we'll tweak it. Where it's possible to tweak it, it's not a perfect schedule. The team mm-hmm. knows that, I know that. But the goal here is to move the service forward. So we'll see. These conversations are ongoing. They're live this week, mm-hmm. and they're going to continue into early next week. And then we'll know exactly where we stand. But DPT and all of its team is committed to delivering the service that the public expects.
Also, the schedule, as has been proposed by Mr. Todd, or I should say the DPT schedule that's now being discussed in its proposal form, is a temporary measure to deal with the situation we have now. And as we acquire additional buses, the schedule then can be modified to meet our ability to provide additional service. As I've made it very clear, my interest is in providing more public service, not less. Uh-huh. So this is not an effort to cut the cost of providing buses. This is an effort to ensure that we are operating at a reliable level. And then as we gain more resources, as the investment of the government begins to see it, you know, fulfill itself over the next year, we then can add additional buses to the fleet. We can add additional routes back into the service and thus provide more service to the public, because they deserve to have as much service as can be provided to our buses, through our buses. So that's what our goal is. And I do believe that there's an understanding amongst our partners that the government is investing. The government is actually supporting and continue and will support for the long-term public buses in Bermuda, and not take away or try and limit it because of cost constraints. Those costs are there irrespective, but it's more costly if our people don't have these services available to them.
It just seems if you have less buses, you need less bus operators. And that, well, if you have 90 buses and you need 90 operators?
No, I don't think it operates that way, but Mr. Atoll can explain how that works.
So we made the efforts recently to get the bus count up, what we found was that as we got closer to 70 buses in service, we then started to be stretched on our operators. So there is a recruitment drive that we've been holding off on, because there's no point staffing up on the operations if you don't have the buses to be driven. On the flip side, if as the buses grow, you will need more operating staff. So what we've done is we've parked that conversation about the recruitment until we have the clarity around the schedule. Once we know exactly the numbers, then we can decide how many staff we need to add. But right now, if we go to the 50 bus schedule, it's a very nice complement because of where our staffing level is now. There will be some flexibility in the operators, but we're also kicking off programs like the Ambassador Training Program. And again, training, development, providing cover for eventualities that happen on the day, whether someone's sick, etc. We will have that flexibility with the new bus schedule, the temporary new bus schedule. And then we can, as the capacity grows, we can time the recruitment and the building out of the operators.
So on the 50 bus schedule, how many operators would you need?
We would need about 81 to fulfill the service. On any given day, we have access to approximately 96 right now because of other unavailability, whether it's long-term sick or otherwise. And so we see us having a bit of a buffer under the 50 bus schedule. But again, remember the 50 bus schedule is temporary, and there are training and other initiatives that we would like to engage that additional capacity in before we return to more of a stretched, requiring everyone to be in a driver's seat.
I'm trying to do the math in my head quickly here, because you mentioned like four buses earlier this year, eight more buses at the end of the year, and then
and budget, there's another RFP for that another we're issuing.
So 20 buses. So how will, you know, help with the fleet? I know, because people can see the license plates of the fleet and tell how old the bus is. How many buses do you think were short, even adding those 20 buses in, to making the fleet current enough to run properly?
Perhaps what, around, well, what, 20 or 30 or so, perhaps? I mean, if we go back ideally to a 100 bus fleet, then that would be like 40, 50 additional new buses needed over a period of time.
Right.
But we're looking at, over the next couple years, we're going to be hopefully through, if certain goals can be reached, we'll be looking at the service.
Yeah.
And there's a green paper on transport, which is currently being completed by the ministry. That will look at the whole picture of transport, public and private. And we may find that we don't need 100 buses based on the data that we're able to sort of get over time, because we're looking to build a lot more data on the service over the next year, and we'll know where service can needs to be provided, because maybe there's been a shift in demand in certain parts of the island. As you know, the current schedule is 20 years old. It's based on a 20-year evaluation. A lot has changed in 20 years in Bermuda, and I'll give you one example. Southside did not exist 20 years ago. It was just the base lands.
Right.
Now there are people who live down there, who work down there. There's a community of some dimension growing down there. So maybe we need to shift greater service in the St. David's area. But that will come from data and from a deep examination of the capabilities and also of where demand is. And that's what we're planning to do over the next year. So those are some of the things that's going to help to change the service. So we may need to go back to 100 buses, but maybe we won't. But I'll leave that to the experts to firmly evaluate. But changes may actually bring that number to be different. Maybe we only need 80 buses. Maybe we only need 90 buses. So we'll take a look at that as we go forward.
Well, I imagine Dockyard's the same with the...
Exactly.
Because now Dockyard's the cruise stop rather than Hamilton.
Exactly. So the fact that Dockyard has become what it was, it wasn't what it was 20 years ago, we maybe need to advance a different traffic pattern for buses down there. Right. Maybe we need to have certain times of the year buses running there more like frequently. So those are the things that we'll look at as we go forward. Right. And that will determine how many buses we need ultimately. Okay. But the current situation is temporary that we're pursuing so that we can then build back over time the strength that is required for the full service for all of Bermuda.
You talked about the green paper for transportation. Is there any look at using electric buses?
Absolutely.
So I understand there's less maintenance involved with the parts.
Absolutely. That green paper will look at electric buses. It will look at hybrid vehicles as well, because it may be that hybrids will be the bridge for us from the standpoint of what we acquire in the immediate to an eventual adoption of more EV public transport. Mm-hmm. We certainly are supportive and of EV vehicles privately, and we want more Bermudians and residents to see EV as an option now. But I must caution those who are very enthusiastic about electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. There's an infrastructure required behind that to support it. Mm-hmm. So we could perhaps put 400 vehicles that are electric vehicles on a container ship tomorrow and deposit them in Bermuda. But we must make sure the infrastructure can support that. And so those are some of the changes that have to be made alongside these transitions, is that we have the supportive infrastructure. It's the same for buses. Ensuring that your infrastructure is robust allows you to deal with the challenges that you face. That underinvestment infrastructure has impacted what we're doing now. And as we go forward, any changes we make must be supported by the right infrastructure.
Obviously, if you switch to electric buses, there's a
charging station,
other things. Yeah, a lot of upfront costs.
That's right.
To take care of the long-term savings.
Yes, absolutely.
Which in the current budget situation is a consideration.
Needs to be very carefully looked at and planned for.
We mentioned about Dockyard and the cruise ships and things. On Halloween, there's... 6 cruise ships in, and it's a Halloween night tip. You know, not always, but sometimes the bus service is a little curtailed on Halloween. What are the plans for this year?
Well, that's one day, and some of those ships are going to come in and leave during that day, so there's not going to be an issue of us having an extended challenge with that beyond just the 31st of October. But we have been discussing for a number of months with different partners, BTA, the Taxi Association, the Minibus Association, hotels, and other stakeholders, how we will plan for this. So we have a plan that's in place, that's been worked on, and we will be informing the public of that plan over the next couple of days. But we've been planning for this day, and I can assure persons that once they hear the plan, they'll know that we are as ready, and Bermuda will do the best that it can possibly can to service those passengers and our public as well, because we have to still provide the regular commuter service on that day.
Right. Well, I know, because sometimes the public gets upset when the bus comes from Dockyard and it's full of cruise ship people and the bus can't stop and pick up the Bermudians.
Well, let me just be a bit informative about that, and I'm sure Roger can augment what I say. Is actually on many days when the cruise ship is in, there are actually 2 buses that leave the depot in Dockyard. One goes into Dockyard, that will obviously pick up a lot of the cruise visitors, and there's one that goes straight onto the main road and goes out so that it can pick up the commuters who would be hampered by a loaded bus full of the visitors. Now, there are certain times that happens, and so maybe some of the people are missing those buses, but we know that certain times in the morning, that's what happens. 2 buses leave the depot instead of one to deal with that situation. Obviously, nothing's perfect. Sometimes people miss and they find themselves only with the bus that's full with the visitors, but DPT has accommodated that with this type of service coming out of Dockyard, particularly on those days when there are cruise ships in.
Is there anything you guys would like to say to the public that maybe I haven't asked you that you want to get across to them?
Don, we touched on a number of things that really speak to the strategy going forward with the bus service. this government and the DPT is committed to providing a quality public bus service. Our vision is to be the preferred mode of transportation for Bermuda. And that's important because it touches on environmental, health, congestion, the Bermuda experience, and it's the public transportation service comes at a cost to the government. So to the extent that we can grow the revenue and grow the ridership of the service is our interest, because there is a lot of fixed costs associated with running a bus service. So having this temporary schedule in place will provide us some breathing room while we strategically grow the service back. And we're looking forward to not just growing the service back in terms of numbers, but also modernizing and evolving the customer experience and the rider experience. And we made reference to data. Right now we use coins and tokens. We're looking to progress the use of electronic fare media to make the service more accessible, not just the buses themselves, but the ability to find out where a vehicle is, find out when the service is running, when it's not running, to procure tickets or fare media using modern technology. And so we're excited about the direction we're going with this. It's going to take some time. It's ambitious. But you would have been at the Bermuda Tourism Summit yesterday and heard a little bit about our greening initiatives as well. So it's all tying together to what I believe is serving the national interest.
I know, like in some countries or some cities, the bus service has free Wi-Fi on it. Is that a possibility?
Yes.
Yes, it's going to be happening?
Yes.
It's already happening.
It will happen with the next generation of buses.
The next generation, so the ones that are coming in December.
That's the current generation of buses.
Okay. That's the current, the next generation after okay. this next order.
After
you'll see that the next generation, that will be the subject of the RFP.
RFP, they will have to
That will be something that will be factored into that particular order. Because we want modern buses. Mm-hmm. We know these are the services that people are desiring. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Well, I'm Don Burgess, and I thank my gentlemen that were here today, the Deputy Premier, who's in charge of public transport, Mr. Walter Raban, and the Director of Public Transport himself, Roger Todd. For all of us here at Bur News, we hope you have a Bermudiful day.